Welcome to the Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. In this podcast, we hear fascinating stories behind vanity license plates all around the country. We also get to know a little bit about the drivers behind those plates. Today's guest is Billy Vandura from Fishkill, New York. His license plate provides a positive message to all who encounter his car. This was not his original reason for getting the plate, however. Let's hear Billy's story. Welcome to Plate Story Podcast. I'm here with Billy Vandura, and I actually connected with him over his license plate because I passed it on Main Street in Fishkill, New York, and it stopped me in my tracks, and I just had to leave a postcard. So, Billy, thanks so much for responding to the card and connecting with me about your plate story.
Oh, I'm glad you left your note there. I think it's a clever idea you're working on.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I appreciate you being on with me today. And I'd love to just delve in a little bit about your license plate and how it kind of came about, why you chose it. So tell me a little bit about it. So why did you choose Steady as your plate?
Wasn't exactly the best beginning, but it was significant. I had a brother that passed away the fall of 2012, and that happened to be his license plate. He wasn't in New York, but that was the plate he had on his car, and I was in a bit of a rough patch, and I could kind of vividly tell you I was in a just kind of sitting around in one of those lulls, and I was like, you know, that seems like a good idea. I'm gonna go get a vanity license plate, and it came in a moment, or I say more like a long stretch of more downs than ups. But I bought it and I said, well, I'll buy it. And then I sort of forgot I got it. And then it shows up, you know, a month later or whatever it is. And then it kind of functions as a piece of about a 2-year grieving period. And it just kind of stuck. And, you know, I didn't promote it or talk about it or any particular way. I mean, family knew, but it was there. And then kind of in a weird roundabout way, you start driving around a little bit. And then I guess I didn't anticipate people would read it, which is kind of dumb because people read license plates. And then I'd be walking through a parking lot or getting out of my car, and some random dude would just be walking by, and he'd just yell over Steady and like throw a thumbs up. And I'd be like, oh, all right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I really love that because the word Steady can mean things to people. And definitely that's, I think, one of the things that stopped me about it is, you know, it's almost a message to the person driving behind you or who walks by your car, like, just keep going, keep steady, keep moving forward. Like it's a positive message that you're putting out there. I am sorry about your loss, and I think it's really wonderful that you memorialized him in your plate and kind of took his plate and brought it forward into your own life as a way to pay tribute to him. I think that's beautiful. Do you happen to know why he chose Steady for the plate?
I mean, there's a very positive origin of his. My brother was in the music business, and there was a band was kind of on their way up, I guess you'd say 2007-ish, you know, 2005. I'm not sure the exact year. A band called The Hold Steady is actually the band's name. So he became friendly with them early on and was helped them out in a few ways. And there's, like a lot of good bands, there's especially older bands, maybe they've got a good following. They've got their own little group of people that kind of stick together, and not, you know, not like a Fish crowd where they travel extensively, but it started off as like, well, these are my guys, and he got the plate and that was it. And they had released an album called Stay Positive. Coincidentally, to your theme there of kind of staying positive and just kind of going along, and that was kind of them and their, I guess you'd say, his circle and his musical circles. I mean, they became very good friends. So that I didn't get it for the band, even mm-hmm. though they've become very good family friends, and I've seen them quite a few times. You know, I didn't get it at all for that reason. You know, and they had nothing to do with me getting it, except they really did have everything to do with me getting it, because they started off a very positive relationship with my brother, which has spawned into a different version, but certainly a positive relationship with my family and extended family. And then, you know, as you said with your messaging, I couldn't tell you a clear version, because, you know, when you're in a cloudy spot for a couple of years, there is no clear version. I needed something to say to these people when they acknowledged me, and I honestly wasn't prepared. So when I would be approached by these people, I'd be like, oh, all right, steady. And like, all the time, you know, and they would kind of nod along, like, okay, that sounds good. Or I'll say always, you know, it would be, somewhere between all the time and always becomes a typical response to people when they do say something. And I didn't unintentionally adopt my life that way, because that's kind of how I like to live anyhow. But it certainly, you know, mimics a not so bad approach to life.
And it sounds like you and your brother were pretty close when he was alive.
We were. I mean, everyone was doing our own things. He lived in Pennsylvania. I live obviously near you here in New York. But you grew up together. You were brothers, and we both traveled a bit. So you, geographically, we weren't as close, but you know, it's certainly a good relationship. And I suppose everybody deals with loss differently. You can take it on a positive turn, or you can let it drag you down. I've seen both, right? And I'd prefer to take the positive turn, you know, because nobody's coming back. Not yet, at least, right? We haven't figured that one out. So you might as well stay positive with it and keep moving along.
Absolutely. And I'll just one more thing about your brother, and then we'll move on. What's one thing that you loved most about him as a person?
It was something I didn't see at the time, but he did. Nowadays, pre 2012, there was certainly social media, but not the way it is today, right? So you couldn't see, if you follow enough people online now and you catch them early on whatever platform you spend your time on, you could watch their ascent, right? You can watch their thoughts mature. You can watch their blog posts get better and things like mm-hmm. that. He didn't have that luxury because the space hadn't matured yet, but he had pulled off what, you know, routinely, and I'm not in the marketing world like you, but you routinely read success stories and articles about people putting together audiences and email lists and things like that. He had actually done all that before there were the tools. You know, before there were all the promotional tools, all the fancy email aggregators and all the data and things like that, they were in their infancy a decade ago, right?
Sure.
So he was doing that 10, 15 years ago, just rudimentary, you know, and it's funny, it still exists today, right? When you're in a market or something like that, and they ask you to write down your email address, right? But He was doing that when that was the thing, and managed to build up a following and a brand around it, you know, pre-tools, which always kind of leans in the back of me a little bit when I watch these people trying to build an audience and get frustrated and do things. And I'm sitting here saying, you know how easy it is? Like, it takes work. It still takes persistence and time, but man, you've got tools now. Like, there are people doing this, and he wasn't the only one, I'm sure, but, you know, there are people doing this 10, 15 years ago that didn't have the luxury of all these tools.
Absolutely.
You know, and they just had to grind it out in smaller areas. And in his case, you know, you find your niche. I mean, that was one of the bands, and there's been a few others. Like, you know, he kind of gathered a small reputation for getting very good at getting bands just before they broke.
Mm.
You know, and like it's probably their last small show they played, a band called the Lumineers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of their last small shows was with him, you know, where he had, where at a venue he was running, because that, you know, I think a few days later they were at the Grammys or won a Grammy, right? So that was mm-hmm. it. Like they weren't coming back to the small club circuit after that. So now the little things like that that you learn to appreciate is that the work people put in before there were really the tools and the resources, and that it was as accepted now. This is just what you do. You build an email following, you do certain things. There were people doing it well before all the fancy gurus and marketing books were out there.
Yeah, for sure. And it sounds like he really knew how to promote and how to identify talent before it was known. And those are two yes. really great, great skills to have.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about your brother. I appreciate that. Now, you said that people stop you in the parking lots and things like that. So clearly, you have had to kind of figure out a little bit of an interaction about your plate. But does it change how you drive ever? Like knowing that people can see your plate, they can read it easily. Does it change how you interact on the road?
So the thought does come across fairly often because, you know, I'm a very basic, you know, silver Subaru Forester, which there's a million of, right? But, you know, when you've got a custom plate, I don't want to say it makes me a better driver, but I'm certainly more aware. I won't say I'm a better driver now than I was, you know, 8 years ago when I got the license plate, but I am... Yeah, I think having a custom plate, you sort of have to be more aware, not from a reputation standpoint, just more from a, well, if I do something wrong, it's a bit easier to remember who did something wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of my viewpoint on that.
Right. But I agree with you. Having a pretty indistinct car, the license plate definitely makes it stand out more.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So where would we be most likely to see your plate driving around or parked?
I mean, Dutchess County, I guess, in theory, is where I do most of my driving, say between, you know, Poughkeepsie and Fishkill and Hyde Park area. A new venture's got me driving, you know, up into the Albany and Utica and Oneonta, out into Delaware County. So mostly New York. You know, a few times a year, we try and do a couple of road trips. Nothing crazy, you know, deep down into Pennsylvania or down to DC. I always find that the interactions, I don't know that I've ever had any real heavy interactions out on a highway or driving as much as in like a parking lot. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I have become that guy to my chagrin is that, if I catch a good plate out there or like somebody doing something interesting with their car, I'm totally the guy that's gonna, if I can safely drive up next to you and give you a little toot and a thumbs up, I'm in. Because I mean there's something beautifully American about a ridiculous like license plate or, you know, furniture hanging out of the back of your pickup truck or around the way to the city, and there was a like a Volvo wagon, again a very typical Volvo wagon, there's a lot of them out there. And this human being had piled their stuff up and strapped it down. And the inside, there was just room for her to be driving. And
wow.
good. Listen, maybe there's a terrible circumstance. There could be. But that doesn't understate just how ambitious it is, assuming the plate from, you know, the plate was from Maine, right? So if she was really coming from Maine down to New York City, the way that vehicle was strapped up, you got to admire the ambition. I guess I'm a little bit more aware when it comes to license plates or slightly unusual stuff where I'll certainly try and get the kids to appreciate even if they're a bit embarrassed.
Now, you've mentioned a new venture, and we've known each other in business networking circles for a long time. Tell me, what are you up to these days professionally?
I'm still in the insurance business. I was with a large company, then started my own operation, did some things well, built out some new initiatives, folded my company into another one, recently sold my share in that company so I can go off and expand on some of those initiatives that were working well. So it's still going to be in insurance. It's still in the realm. I mean, the very simplest line is I'm good, and the people that are going to be around me are going to be good at helping people buy insurance.
Is there somewhere we can find some information about what you're creating on the internet?
It's Birch, like the tree, BIRCH, yard.com.
Awesome. Well, I wish you a lot of luck and success with it. And I will definitely check out the website and learn a little bit more.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So just a couple more things about you. You know, we talked a lot about your plate. What are you reading right now? What book would you recommend?
I do read a bit. I try and be a little eclectic. I mean, it's more heavily towards business stuff because I find it interesting, but I've done some good history right now. I was gifted it at Christmas time. It's called Young Benjamin Franklin, The Birth of Ingenuity. So if you're, I guess the term is the origin story, mm-hmm. right? If you were, you know, like the Marvel or cinematic stuff, there's always that origin story. This really focuses on a couple of hundred years before he was born, tracing back his family history and trying to find the ties that, what are the circumstances that set up him being born in Boston and the family and the relatives around it and how it built him up. And I'm near the end of it. It ends well before he's anybody of any historical significance.
Oh,
the
okay.
book. So the book stops well before the revolution and things like that. Right. So, it's amazing. I mean, it is just a tremendous historical archive that, you know, this human being really must have dove deep to find records from the, you know, 1500s and 1600s and deep in England and stuff. And that's what I'm reading now. But I mean, the last book before that was, I think, and I don't put them on my shelf in any particular order. It was actually a pretty neat business book that an old colleague of mine who had actually pushed me back into reading. So I still owe her a debt of gratitude there. She was taking a course, and part of the course was a book called The Art of Woo, W-O-O.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite good as well. I mean, you're probably, you know, there's probably similar stories about negotiation and how to set up situations in other books, but I thought that was fairly good.
That's great. Now, clearly you read a lot, and I would say that probably helps you with your success, but what specifically would you attribute your success in life and in business to?
That's a completely loaded question. I think one of the key things is knowing that your success isn't my success. Meaning, I can embrace and enjoy and appreciate your success, but whatever you deem to be your version of success is exactly that. And I slip from time to time where I look at people that I look at the tools and the resources I think they have, and I'm like, why aren't they doing more with that? And then I remind myself, it's fine. As long as they're doing what they want to be doing and they're happy, it's really none of my business. So as being very clear on what I'm trying to do, that I am not trying to take from anybody, or I'm not trying to make anybody's situation any worse. I know I'm good at a few things. I'm going to continue to do them well and expand upon them, help people out, and stay consistent, and pardon the pun, but kind of stay steady in the approach of saying, but we're just going to keep going along on this path, and we'll help enough people, which then creates income, which then allows you to do more things to help more people. There is no magic bullet. You can read all the things about persistence and drive, and I believe they're all accurate. However, they must be specific to the human being or to the situation. And that's where I think I'm completely imperfect in this respect, but it's something I continue to work on, is saying, yeah, but how does that pertain to my situation? How is that a tool or an aspect or something that I could work on to continue to improve and work towards the things that I want to work towards, as opposed towards, you know, what somebody else at my age or in my profession deems to be success? And that's the, as I said, I'm relaunching this thing. It's saying, well, wait a second. I know I'm very good at those things. There's a list of them, but I don't need to do those things again, because I did those things already, right? So doing them again, is that really a good way for me to spend my time on this planet? Or can I do those things, but then can I teach others to do those things in a better way, and then find other people, and then not just carry along, but really, again, customize it to my situation while finding others that I could lift up along the way. And that's kind of the crappy answer I can give
I hope it makes sense. Yeah, it does make sense. It sounds like you're talking about scaling up and leveraging the skills and talents of other people so that you can focus on what you consider to be your biggest passions, your best skills and talents.
Right. And it's but leveling up those other people as well of saying, you know, and also being aware and, you know, not everybody wants Trista's level or Billy's level. They just don't. And that's okay. But if there's a level you haven't gotten to yet, and by working with me, you can do things that I'll benefit from and I can do things for you that you'll benefit from, and you can get to the level you want to get to, and I can get closer to or even to the level I want to get to, that's way more satisfactory to me than just going about my way and doing things. Because I'm at that point in life, and you probably are as well, where you have enough skills where you could hunker down and do your work and be just fine financially, right? Or in several life categories, but maybe not all life categories.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But it sounds like a lot of work as well. And, you know, especially creating a new venture, what do you do to stay motivated?
You know, I think it's a really dumb expression, and it's absolutely true, right? It's a Zig Ziglar, right? It's like bathing. You don't bathe today and think you're clean tomorrow, right? You have to refresh daily. I think I'm not perfect with reading every single morning, but resetting your brain every day is fundamentally important.
And I think what you're speaking to is really important, and that's mindset. That your mindset gets to determine your course, not how well your day went or how poorly your day went. Because if you have a really crappy day, but your mindset is right, and you reset it with positive and powerful transformational kinds of things, whatever those look like for you, that makes all the difference.
But you must take what you just said there, whatever it looks like for you, because this is fundamental stuff. This is science. This is not woo-woo. This is not guru stuff. This is stuff that goes back to the Greeks, right? To the earliest recorded stuff when they were figuring these things out and determining that they were working, and they still work. However, you do have to adapt them, but don't think you're going to overcome the fact that you get to do it once and it's going to work forever. That's just not how it goes. And don't think that my mantras are going to necessarily work for you. You know, I could tell you using the word steady works for me, but what's that going to really do for you? Because that's my mantra, not yours.
And so that's how you stay motivated. What do you do to stay healthy?
The dog and I generally go out 2 to 4 times a week on various trails around the Hudson Valley, which there is no shortage of. And then there's a gym not far from my house that serves the purpose between the weightlifting and some machines and, quite frankly, balancing work schedules between my wife and I and a couple of kids. Sometimes, you know, you only have 30 minutes,
sure,
but to that motivation point, but you still have 30 minutes.
Yeah. Do what you can in the time that you have and be proud of what you accomplished instead of beating yourself up for what you didn't do.
Yeah, but that's it.
So I've asked you a ton of questions today. Is there one question that you'd like to ask me?
From the license plate standpoint, you know, what I've learned, I respect the ask. I respect the ask because there's a lot of truths out there in the world. And one of them is absolutely nothing happens until somebody asks. Is there I'd like to find 5 license plates today, or is this much more of a serendipitous situation as far as finding license plates for you?
Oh, that's a great question. So the postcard actually, so just for anyone who's not familiar with what we're talking about, as I mentioned at the beginning, the reason that we're talking about your plate is because I drove by your car and I put a postcard in your door handle. And this is something that started out because necessity is the mother of invention. So I'm seeing all these plates and I'm like, I want to do this podcast. How am I going to get the person whose plate this is? So I created this postcard and I just had it in my car. The first couple times I walked up to a person's car, it was very nerve-wracking. There could be somebody in the car. If I touched the car, an alarm could go off. I was, I'm taking a little risk because I'm going into someone's personal space even though it's their car out in public. I don't go onto people's driveways and onto their property. It's always in public areas. But it was a little nerve-wracking to do that. And it was funny. I was telling my husband that I put a postcard on a Tesla. And my husband said, well, you know, Teslas have cameras and they record everything that happens around the car. And there are actually websites where you can post your Tesla video of somebody approaching your car. I guess approaching the Tesla, the camera turns on. It has a motion sensor. So anytime I approach a Tesla now, I'm like waving like, hi, please call me. So the postcard thing, yeah, the postcard thing sort of was an invention out of necessity. How do I reach people? If I'm out and about and I have an extra few minutes between appointments or I finished early for the day, I will do something that I have termed plate wrangling, where I actually go out. I might drive through a Home Depot parking lot on my way home or through a church parking lot or a grocery store, some public place, and see if there are any. And I'll place a few on my way home. So it's much more of a fun thing for me. A little activity I get to add to the Plate Story podcast process that I actually have come to quite enjoy.
Yeah, but you brought up, I mean, you've taken a bunch of our conversation and just molded it all into one thing. I mean, it's the necessity, and it's funny, actually, as part of my Franklin book, like the Franklins invented the term ingenuity, right? So that's why we have that term, and that's from the 1600s. But it's the, you know, you came up with a clever way, but the other thing that you said in there, serendipity needs fuel. If you don't give serendipity or the universe, however you want to phrase it, something to work with, you've got to give it something to work with. And it sounds like the postcards are, or that habit of just saying, you know, instead of taking this road home, I'm going to take this road home and pass by this parking lot, like giving yourself the opportunity for something to happen. You're giving the universe some fuel to work with in order to help you obtain what you're trying to work on. And that's it. Like there's no point overcomplicating it. It works.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it for sure. Well, I appreciate that question because it had me sort of think back to that process a little bit. So thank you for asking that. And thank you so much again for being a guest on Plate Story Podcast. I wish you lots of fun on the road and to drive safe and enjoy those adventures.
Sounds good. I appreciate your mission. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks. You too, Billy. Have a great day.
You as well.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Plate Story Podcast. If you would like to nominate the owner of a plate, including you, or visit any of our sponsors, come see us at platestory.com. That's PL8Story.com, and give us the details. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.